our meeting over there, of course, ended last night, and I came in Saturday of last Saturday, and I was in town, and I drove over to Brother Seth Hohenstreet and our good friends. I'd not yet seen their new building, and so I was in the parking lot. I took a picture of it and said, "Hey, guess where I am?" And then he goes, "You're in town?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want a tour?" So he came over and we had a tour. So while we were talking, I told him the meeting went through Wednesday, and he said, "Well, what are you doing Thursday?" I said, "We're not doing anything." He said, "Would you preach for us Thursday night?" And I go, "I guess. I don't have anything else to do. I'll be happy to do that." So then Sunday afternoon he called me and he said, "You know, it'd be better if we did it Friday. Could you do it Friday?" And I go, "I don't have anything to do Friday." And so then Pastor Kerry came Monday and we said hello and so on. And then I think it was not till Tuesday that we talked about what are you doing and so on. He said, "I'd love for you to come. I want you to come sometime." I go, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, anyway," he said, "Well, our services are Thursday." He said, I said, "Well, that's open. I don't know how it happened, but anyway, I'm standing here. And I'm glad and thankful to get to be with you. I'm looking forward to what I'm going to try to get across to you tonight. So if I say, let me, first of all, this is my wife, Nancy, for you know, that met her and so on. We have two daughters. Angie is 47. She'll be 48 in July. Mercy. And then Becky is evidently 46, and she'll be 47 in October. Angie's never been married. She's a school teacher, and she lives next door to our house. And so she has a roommate. They've been roommates since they were in college in the dorms, and so they're still roommates. So anyway, it's kind of cute to see these two girls that have been together all their life, and they act like they're married, you know, the way they get along. But anyway, and then our other daughter, she's married, has two children. She actually lives in our house. Nancy had knee surgery some, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And our daughter and her husband and two kids came over to take care of mom while I traveled. And so they were supposed to stay with us a couple months. After a month or so, my daughter came to mom and said, "Hey, we've been talking and we feel like we should just move in with you. Because it won't be long that we're going to have to take care of you anyway." So anyway, they've been living with us now 5 years or 6 years. And it's a blast. So we go home about 70 days a year. And we visit our kids. And then we leave. So anyway, it's a blessing. So that's our life story and so on. And anyway, we're grateful that people would even think about asking us to come to their church and to preach and teach God's word. So if I say the words Hebrews chapter 11, would you just out loud say what comes to your mind? Hebrews 11 is faith. Very good. That's maybe more than half of you. That's good. Faith. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. As we get going here, I hope that you see or understand why I consider this to be so very important. So Hebrews 11, if you're able, I'd ask you to stand with me, please, if you're able. For now more than 30 years, I've asked people to stand when I get ready to read the text. And it's just a reminder. I want to remind me and you both that I believe we still should give reverence and honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, perfect, preserved Word, the living God. And I just want to remind us all to do that. So thank you for standing. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We could just bounce down to verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So the book of Hebrews chapter 11, many people have tagged it as the Hall of Fame of Faith. of God's servants and believers. And so I don't think that's a bad name for it. There's a long list of names and things they accomplished by faith and how God used them. But I'm not going to talk about the individuals tonight. That's not the purpose of what I'm going to try to do. So I'd like to have prayer with you and see what and how the Lord's going to speak to our hearts tonight. Okay, let's pray. Our great God, I sure love you. Thank you. Thank you that you love us, that you're interested in us, that you prove that you love us, and that while we were yet sinners, thank you, Christ, that you died for us. Thank you. So I thank you for Pastor Carey and Ms. Carey and the ministry you let them have in this place. And thank you for Independent Baptist Church and these folks that are committed to you and your work and your church to be here on a Thursday night. Thank you for that. Would you please use this time in our lives in such a way that it would remind us or challenge us, however and whatever you want to do to us, that it, whatever happens, that it actually brings glory to your name. And that's what I'd like to see. I'm asking you for help or unction and for utterance power to get across the truth concerning these few things about faith that you put on my heart. I pray to be a help, and that really that it just brings glory to you. So Jesus, we cannot wait to see you, and it's in your mighty and holy name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So it's obvious I'm talking about faith and so on, and we as students of the Bible and so on, we love it when the Bible gives us the definition that we don't have to depend on somebody else and how they say it and all that. And so here in Hebrews 11, it does give us a specific definition concerning faith. Now, faith is the substance. And so I just want to bring that up a minute because, of course, I'm an old fellow now, and I've been preaching a long time, and I've been around all kinds of different people, believers, and denominations, and so on. Anyway, so here's what I found out, that many, many people that actually believe the Bible and they are try to be committed Christians, to many people, faith is it's almost unknowable. It's almost mystical. Like, here it is. I'm trying to have faith. I hope I have faith. I hope my faith's good faith. I'm pretty sure my faith's okay. I've got quite a bit of faith in my faith. I think my faith is good faith. And it's not. They don't have a true handle that, yes, I know that I have faith and I know what it is. Now, see, a lot of people, I'm going to use this word, that they can't get a handle on it. And I'm going to say it like this. They, not just mystical, they say it's ethereal. Yeah. I'm not positive if I have faith or not. I think I do. And they're good, nice people. They believe the Bible and so on. Here the Bible says faith is the substance. It sounds like to me it must be substantive if it's the substance. I like to use the illustration that if you and I were going to get together and we were going to make brownies from scratch. Yeah. And we get the ingredients, we mix them all up, stir them up, preheat the oven and so on, get the pan ready, put them in there and... Some of you, it might be possible, I think, that if we pulled the brownies out, some of you would go, oh, you left out something. Others of you, perhaps, could bite into the brownie and say, you left out the eggs. it's obvious. Us men would go, but I can eat it anyway. It's okay, I'll eat them. So anyway... Eggs are a vital, important part of brownies from scratch. If you're going to have them and you're going to enjoy them and eat them, watch. Eggs are a substance of the brownie. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So let's just back up again. faith is the major, the ingredient. The only reason we have something called Christianity is because of something called faith. Without faith, there is no salvation. So if there's going to be, if we're going to talk about Christianity and that Christ, God's Son, died and was buried, rose again, and went back to heaven, if we're going to talk about what Christianity is, the only thing that glues Christianity together is faith. If there is no faith, there is no Christianity. So now the Bible tells us, now let me just go ahead and do this since I'm on the train, is that to be born again, it's only possible by faith. For by grace are you saved through whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Amen? It's all hinged on faith. When someone tries to add something to faith, because that's not faith. Faith must stand alone to be faith. If you try to add something to faith, it ceases to be faith only. It's faith and. But the Bible tells us that salvation is by faith, through faith. It's only by faith. I even use the words, and if it's tacky to you, too bad, I'm sorry. But when someone tries to add something to salvation, I don't care if it's baptism, if it's catechism, if it's going through discipleship or money. If you try to add anything to faith, it's not salvation because that's not faith. You're trusting in Jesus and. Everybody with me? So they're fighting words. Just poke them in the eye. Just get it over with, okay? They're supposed to. It's faith alone. And I'm even going to do this. It's faith totally, only, solely, completely in Jesus, not anything else. And in this room, because I know I'm saying an Independent Baptist Church, is that I know that's what is practiced and believed and taught and preached here. That's just the fact of it. We make a big issue about it. So faith is the ingredient of salvation. And now the Bible tells us faith is the substance. It's an ingredient. It's a substance. Then it uses this term, of things hoped for. Faith is substantive, but it's things that are hoped for. We use the word hope different than maybe the way the Bible does. When we say hope, we don't know for sure. I hope there's some brownies left. We don't know. The Bible, when it uses the word hope, it's not talking about the unknown. In fact, it's actually talking about a certainty. Because our hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. Is everybody with me? So our hope is in Jesus Christ, or He is our hope. And so we're not, when we say faith is a substance of things hoped for, it's not like we're saying, I don't know if it's really there or not. It's that we have a certainty that it is. However, now here we go. It can get a little scrambled if we're not careful. So in front of me, I'm hoping and I'm looking forward to, and in fact, I'm longing to go to heaven. I've never seen it. I've never seen Jesus. But I know it's there. How do I know it's there? By faith. But here, listen, watch this. There is no reason to hope for it if you have it. So let me just put this in your little brain, is that, you know, if you're praying in faith, well, I'll just say it to your face, that means you don't have it yet. Because if you have it, you don't need to faith it. If you have it, you don't need to hope it. Is everybody getting that in your head? There's all kinds of things in front of us, that prayer requests from the missionaries, prayer requests that we might have, that means it hasn't happened yet. There's no reason to make a prayer request if you already have it. So the faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is substantive of something that I don't have. Well, I just said Jesus is our hope. Do I have Jesus? Yes. So are you faith in it? Are you hoping for Jesus? No, right now I don't have to hope for Jesus. I have Him. But He is my future hope of eternity. Everybody got that? So it is my hope, and faith is the substance of the future. But right now I do have Jesus, and I have all of Him I'm going to get. I have Jesus. I have salvation. How did I get saved? Well, by faith. All right, let's do the other half of the verse here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So now the Bible says faith is evidentiary. It's not only substantive, something that you can know, it's also evidence. You can take it to a court of law, you can put it in front of the judge and the jury, and you can give them the evidence. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. So here you go, you got evidence of something you can't see. And that is really hard to prove in a courtroom, because you can't see it. So I like to give the little illustration that if God did the, I call it the Star Trek miracle, if He beamed us all to heaven, and we're there for 15 seconds, so mercy, this is amazing. Boom, we're back. I'm guaranteeing you nobody would want to come back. But watch, if we did get to do, evidently the Apostle Paul did, and perhaps John did, is that they got to go to heaven and they came back to the planet. Do you know what they didn't have to do anymore? They never had to faith it because they've seen it. If you can see it, you don't have to faith it. Is anybody catching this? I have salvation. I can't physically see it, but I know this. I physically, mentally, emotionally, conceptually, I know that I'm saved. Excuse me. I don't have to faith that I'm saved, but how did I get saved? By faith. But every day I don't have to faith it going, oh, I hope I'm still saved. I'm still trying to faith it. No, my faith is substantive. It's part of salvation. It is the ingredient of salvation, and I know that I know I'm saved. The Bible says that you may know. Amen. And so that we're saved. But watch, I love this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't have it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. If you have it, you don't have to hope it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so if you and I went out to the neighborhood, went to some store somewhere, and we told people, hey, I've got proof. Heaven is real. I got proof. And they go, I want to be a Christian too, because if you have proof, I'll believe it. I will. I just, please tell me what's your proof. And you go, it's faith. Oh, well, that's not what I'm looking for. But watch this. This is so valuable in my opinion. People that know that they're forgiven, here's another word, people that know that they're born again, they know it. Well, how in the world do they know it? Only way you can. It's by faith. Amen? People that don't know, they're disappointed in us that know. Say, how can you know that you really know? And you go, because I know. And they go, well, I'm trying to know. I wish I did know. I'd like to know, but I just don't know. Like you say, you know, but I do know. How do you know? Because I was there when it happened. I know. In fact, I know that I know I know. And I love to tell lost people, and you can never know until you know. But once you know, you know. Is everybody with me? That's what salvation is. It's something that you know. I have evidence in me, in my brain, in my heart, my life. I am born again. How do I know this? The only way anybody can ever know is by faith. But if your faith is not in Jesus alone and you're tagging some stuff along with it, no wonder you don't know. Because you've not yet depended solely, totally, only upon Jesus Christ. So that's just the simplicity of Christianity, and it just makes all kinds of humans out there that are religious stumble over salvation. They're just very religious, and they're trying to know. They hope they know. One day they hope they'll know. Maybe I'll know someday, but you don't know until you know. Amen. All right, now if we're all on the same page with this, that we agree that you can know, you can know for sure, it's evidentiary in your life. You're not hoping someday you'll be saved, you already know that you are. Now, according to the Holy Bible, after we are born again, we're saved. The Bible says saved people, it doesn't use that word, it uses the word just. The just, the justified, those who are born again, the just shall live by faith. Now, that's how I got saved. But that's not what the Bible says right here. The Bible says the just, says it four times, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means now that I'm a believer, I'm born again, I not only got saved by faith, and now I'm supposed to live my life by faith. I've been in the ministry a long time. I'm an old preacher. I've already said it and so on. I grew up in church. And here's what I've learned about, not just me, but I believe I've learned about folks that attend, I'll just go ahead and say, attend our kind of churches. What do you mean by our kind of churches? Churches that believe the Holy Bible. We believe every bit of it. We believe it's God's Word. We believe Jesus is God's Son. I'm telling you, almost every one of us do everything we can not to live by faith. Well, I can't figure that out. I'm not going to be able to do that until I figure it out. Well, that's not like faith. Well, I just can't see that. Well, crybaby, if you can see it, you don't need to faith it. Did you just hear what we say? It's not just us in this room. All these believers out there across the world, across the country are going, well, I can't see that. Duh, that's a good start. Well, I don't think that's going to work. I can't figure that out. If you could, you wouldn't need to faith it. And it's just so baffling to me, and I've been doing this a long time now, but it's just baffling to me how much of mine and your life, I'm involved in it too, that when God is pressing on us or nudging us or calling us, we're going, I think you got the wrong person here. I can't, there's no way I can do it. Well, if you could do it, you wouldn't have to faith it. So just read the missionary letters. The person in Sri Lanka, what's his last name? Ekno, maybe, something like that. That's fascinating to me about his ministry, but I know a couple of missionaries in Sri Lanka, and I hope they know Brother Ekno. But regardless, why is he in Sri Lanka? I guess by faith. Why would he go there? He just thought, I will be awesome in Sri Lanka. Why is he ministering to the lepers? Well, someone's got to. I'm pretty sure he probably had what we might call a calling. If you could understand it, if you can see it, you wouldn't need to faith it. Is everybody with me? That's every, oh honey, please catch this. It's every avenue of our life. It's not just being a missionary. It's not just being a Sunday school teacher. It's not just, it's everything in our life. Dave McCracken, if you're a believer, we're supposed to be people that live by faith. So, if we've got this nailed down pretty good, I want to show you something that I think is just helpful and enlightening. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. So let's just establish this right now. If you've got red letters in your Bible, who's talking? Say it out loud. Jesus. Jesus Christ. He's the one talking. So if you don't have red letters in your Bible, doesn't mean you have a cheap Bible. But some of us know we don't have to figure out who's talking. In John chapter 6, it's toward the end of the chapter. I'm going to read a verse to you, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, before we read the whole verse, I am not going to spend time, effort, energy in trying to teach and explain the second half of the verse. I think I have a grip on it, but that's not my intent tonight of what I'm trying to get across. So let me just say something to you. I don't know who you are, but some people, when they read something and they're not sure what it means, it bothers them terribly. And they cannot leave until they know what it means. I'm not that person. I read it and I go, well, send a Bible. It's good. I believe it. Okay? So I don't have to figure it out. I know there's some things I need to figure, but anyway, I can also accept it. I can move on. Some people go, you can't stop. You got to tell us what that is. And I'm telling you, I can too stop. It don't bother me. So what I'm getting ready to read to you, if the second half bothers you, and you're one of those people, I'm not mad at you or anything, that's just how you're made. Just make an appointment with Pastor Carey and he'll figure it all and explain it all to you. It's that easy. Here we go. It's verse 57. Jesus is talking. It's in red letters. Jesus says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. There you have it. So we're just talking about the first part of it. Here's what Jesus said. As the living Father. First of all, we can mark it down that whoever Jesus is talking about, he's saying he's alive. And he calls him his Father in heaven. Amen? Now in the text here, he doesn't say Father in heaven, but he says, as the living Father has sent me. Here's something that's also just little tiny pinpoint in there that a lot of people overlook. If Jesus was sent, that means he was somewhere before he was sent. So that means he existed before he was sent. And who sent him? He says the living Father sent him. And then he says these words, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. What does that mean? I live by the Father. I live by the Father. It kind of sounds like he gets his instruction from the Father. Sounds like he gets direction from the Father. You could even imagine this. It kind of makes sense. I live by the Father. He gets his ability by the Father. It almost sounds like he's dependent upon the Father. That's what it sounds like. Hey, he sent me here, and I'm here, but I'm telling you, I live by the Father. Back up one page in your Bible, chapter 5. Let me show you this. It's also in red letters, so we know Jesus is talking. And it is verse number 30. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Well, there he goes again, not doing his own will, but doing his Father's will. But that's the part I want to get across is the first sentence there, the first line. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now, I think everybody in this room would be in agreement with me that Jesus, he's the Son of God. In fact, he's like God. He's like God in the flesh. He's not some God. He's not part God. He's not God in man. He's not man in God. He's like the God-man. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. And yet Jesus right here says, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, I thought he could like walk on water. I thought he could raise the dead. He can speak to a raging storm and say, peace, be still, and it will. But then he says, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, what in the world is that about? I can't do it. Here's the rub. Jesus is not half man. He's 100% man. He's not half God. He's 100% God. I say these words, he's the indescribable, undefinable God-man. And people go, could you explain that? I just said it's indescribable and unexplainable. You know, people have these little things they use and so on. But all I can tell you, I know for sure Jesus declares himself to be God. And he declares himself to be man. My dad, I grew up in a preacher's home, so he's my preacher. He's in heaven now, but after I got out of Bible college, I've been out a year or two, and I grew up in Kentucky. I went to Oklahoma after college, and Dad moved to Oklahoma. I moved in May. He moved in Oklahoma in August, and there was a church open in Moore, Oklahoma, and I was in the Oklahoma City, and he became their pastor. So we had a relationship that we're 20 minutes, 25 minutes away from each other. We're both in the ministry. And it was wonderful. So Dad and I fellowship together, and he's got six boys. I'm the only one of the boys that's in the full-time ministry of preacher, and so that doesn't mean he loves me better, but we had a commonality and talk about the Bible and things that maybe some other brothers wouldn't talk about. So anyway, so Dad and I were going to a preacher's, but I got to tell you this first. Oh, mercy. My dad loved the Holy Bible. He did. And his favorite book in the Bible is the book of romance. He loves romance. He loved to talk about doctrine, and I even would say, my brain, as a kid especially, he liked to talk about the deep things of God. And my dad had the ability to go down, talk about stuff, and go down really deep, and stay down there like a long time. And I didn't have no idea what he was talking about, but he was having a good time, and he was enjoying talking about that stuff. And so my dad loved that. He just ate stuff up like that. Enjoyed it. Well, my brain didn't calculate like that, so it doesn't matter. We're both in the ministry. Anyway, we went on a preacher's trip on a Monday, so we drove down south in Oklahoma, got in a hotel, had a dinner, and then we went to church. And at night, on Monday night, they'd have two preachers. So I had two preachers, and after the done preaching, you go back in the room, you have some cookies and coffee and snacks and stuff and fellowship, and you have a good time, but, you know, you're tired, and you get to bed 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and the next morning you get up, and you check out, you go to the church, and they have some refreshments, some donut stuff, continental breakfast stuff, you fellowship, you're having a good time. Then they had two preachers, and then you took a couple-minute break, and then we have another preacher, and then we'd have lunch. And then after lunch, we'd come back and have two more preachers. It was like old-time preaching. So you heard two on Monday night, three Tuesday morning, and two Tuesday afternoon. I think that's like seven different preachers. And I love to hear preaching. I love it. And that I feel like someone doesn't like preaching. Something's wrong with them. I don't know if they're saved or not, but whatever. I love to hear it. So, but I will tell you this. It does fry your brain. Because you've heard all this, and you're soaking it in, and it's overload. So driving home, we didn't sleep much, and you're tired, and you've heard all this preaching, and we're enjoying the fellowship, talking about what we heard, and what was a blessing, and so on. Anyway, my dad brought up something on this particular trip that I was, anyway, he just said it out loud to me. He said, you know, son, he just, out of the blue, said, you know, son, I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God, but sometimes I struggle with him being man. Here's what my head thought. Oh boy, we're getting ready to go down deep. I ain't ready for this. My brain is already fricasseed. I don't think I can handle this. And here I looked at my dad and I said these words. I know what you mean. And it was over. He didn't go down deep. He didn't say nothing else about it. It was over. But I will tell you, that little statement floated around in my head every once in a while when I'm studying or when I'm getting ready to teach or something. Well, I don't have any trouble with him being God. Sometimes I struggle with him being man. And I'm thinking, I just already believe it. I don't guess I struggle with it. He is 100% man. He's 100% God. I don't have to worry about it. So that's when I was about 23 or so. And years later, I had to be in my early 40s. I'm at another preacher's meeting. A friend of mine is up there preaching, and he's talking about when Jesus started his public ministry. When Jesus started his public ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then he went in the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Here's what my friend, he's up there preaching. I'm sitting over there. He's up there and he goes, I don't know if Jesus knew that after he got baptized by John the Baptist, that he would be driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted 40 days and 40 nights. How can you say, I don't know if Jesus knew? What is wrong with you? Jesus knew about the donkey tied up. He knew about Thomas in advance. He knows stuff. How can you say, I don't know if Jesus knew? And in the midst of that argument, now I was not doing it out loud. It was all inside here. But I was just arguing with him. In the midst of that argument, I have something in my head. Some people do, I think. I don't know. But I have something every once in a while that a dinger goes off. It goes ding. And it's like, oh, and it gets your attention. And the dinger went off, and it said these words. That's exactly what your dad was saying. I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God, but I might struggle with him being man sometimes. Is Jesus 100% man? Yeah. So you and I, this is Thursday evening. After services are over, and we're going to go back home. You might have some ideas of something you might do or plan to do. Or tomorrow morning, you got some plans. You're pretty sure you know what you're going to do. But actually, none of us really know, do we? We don't know for sure what's going to happen. Well, is Jesus 100% man? So is it okay to say, I don't know if he knew or not? He is 100% man. And that day, that moment, God convicted me and said, that's exactly what your dad was trying to tell you, and here you are 20-something years later, and you just realize that you, too, don't know, you have trouble, that he's really a man. Because we let him be a little bit man. He got hungry one time. I remember that. He was thirsty. He's tired. He settled a well. He was tired. He's a man. No, he's 100% man. So then he said, I count on my own self. Do nothing. Do you know as a man that he was 100% reliant, dependent upon his Father? He said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said, I can't do this on my own. He said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm not in charge. I am depending on him. I don't know if you're catching this or not. If Jesus is saying out loud, I can't depend on just myself. I'm dependent on the Father. I can't on my own self do nothing. When he says that, do you and I believe that we see that if our Savior, the Son of God, needed to live by faith and depend upon his Father, it sure seems like maybe he's trying to teach us, hey, you need to live by faith too. Well, I just don't think I can figure that out. Duh. We're supposed to be people who live by faith. It's in every area of our life. So let me just pause and just say, I'm over here. I am a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I got hundreds of sermons. And when he asked me to come and speak, immediately I thought about that I'm going to talk about faith. And then I'll just tell you this afternoon, I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about it. And I had some other ideas that I would do. But I'm telling you, I can't think of a more important thing that us believers need to hear than, hey, we're supposed to be people who live by faith. And we do about what we can so we don't have to. Every area is by faith. Every area. Not some of them, not just when we come to church. My life, I'm supposed to be a person that lives by faith. Here's another way to say it. I can't of my own self do nothing. I'm supposed to be a person that lives by faith. I'm trusting Him. I'm going to describe to you, in our lives, stuff is going to happen to us, and it's just a fact. And so I'm just going to give you a description that it's possible that you could go to work, and you thought you were going to be there for a long time, and you get there and they go, this is our last day. We can't be here the last day. Yeah, we're closing down. It's over. Well, that could never happen. It's happened to lots of people. So, you don't have a job anymore. And your truck has already broke down. You need to get the truck fixed. And then one of the kids is sick. It doesn't seem like it's just one little thing. It's all, they kind of stack up. And you're going, I don't know how to get a job. How am I going to get the truck fixed on a good night? I hope the kid's not that bad. I hope the kid can get over it. I don't know what to do. I know what I can do. I can trust God. Thank you, God. You know everything. You know how to take care of everything. Wow, I'm so glad I can depend on you. Thank you. Oh. But when are you going to do it? How long is it going to take? I don't know how long I can wait here. I got bills to pay. We got to do this stuff. What do you, come on. Where am I supposed to go? You got to give me some leadership here. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know if I can get a job. Come on. When are you going to let me know? I'm sorry. I'm going to trust you, God. You know when you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I know I can trust you. I'm sure I can. But I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know if the kid. Maybe we could sell a kid. Then we could pay some bills. I don't know what to do. And you get all bent out of shape. Is everybody hearing me? Here's what I call this. I call this to our face. Us believers today bounce in and out of faith all the time. And since I brought it up, we give each other a pass. You're struggling, I'll just pat you on the shoulder. Oh, brother, I know it's hard to trust God, but that's all you got to do. Keep trusting God. Hang in there. I know it's difficult. Just hang in there and trust God. When he is struggling and he's not trusting God, but I'm trying to tell him, all you got to do is trust God, just, you know, and act like it's really hard. It's really hard to trust God. No. If he's all bent out of shape, he doesn't have peace, and he's anxious, and he's full of anxiety and stuff, I don't need to pat him on the back and act like, it'll get better, just trust God. Just say, hey, stop, you need to start trusting God. Well, I am trusting God. It doesn't seem like it, you're full of anxiety and nervous, and you're all bent out of shape. Well, I wouldn't say that to him. Why not? If you're trusting God, I'm pretty sure you could have, like, peace, confidence, let me see, certainty. Well, how in the world could you get it? It's called faith. Well, I can't figure it out. Duh! If you can figure it out, you don't have to faith it. But people that are living by faith on purpose, they have peace. What are you going to do about it? I can't do anything about it, but he can. I'm just going to try to find a job. Where are you going to go? I don't know right now. I'm not worried about it. I know he knows what to do, and I'm going to trust him. Is anybody getting any of this? If someone came in the room, and let's just do it, in your life, family, at work, or whatever, and they go, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. I've been praying. I've been tithing. I've been going to church, and I thought I'd feel good. I thought it'd be okay. I just and say, hey. Are you trusting God for salvation, or are you trusting your tithing? We would not give them any room at all. You see what I mean? I'm told it was fighting words. You poke your finger in their eye if they're going to add something to salvation. But if they're going to add something to their Christian life, we give them a pat on the head. Go, well, God bless you. It's hard to trust God. Just do the best you can. Keep trying. When we ought to say, you know, it just really appears like that you don't really trust God. Well, you shouldn't say that to me. I do trust God. Doesn't seem like it, because you seem like you're all bent out of shape and you're nervous and worried and you're anxious and so on. You're not sleeping good. And then you're going to get in a physical fight with them. So. But is anybody hearing me? Why in Christianity do we think it's okay to get saved by faith, but we don't have to really live by it? We're supposed to be people that live by faith. Don't give each other a pass about it. Be honest about it. I don't know. This is one of my favorite things to teach and preach to anybody across the country because it's such the hinge of Christianity that I teach this, and my oldest daughter had never been married, but she was going through something in her life, I'll just say 15 years ago, I'm not even sure. And she was hiding it from us, and she was being secretive about it. And it was, when we found out about it, it broke her heart. We didn't know how to confront her about it and so on. And I'm telling you, I went to bed that night, and I could not sleep. Do you know why? I was worried about my daughter.
Well, that's normal.
Huh. Wonder if I could trust God with my daughter. My mom has 11 children, and all of us haven't been saints. Some of us don't live for God whatsoever. And so I'm now a grown man. I'm close to 30. And I asked my mother, I said, Mom, how do you sleep at night when you got three kids that are living like the devil? You know what my mama said to me? I call my mom a man of God. My mom said, David, when you're not right with God, what do you think I do? I said, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about them. They're not right with God. How do you sleep at night? She said, when you're not right with God, do you know what I do? I put you in God's hands. I can't do anything about it. I put you in God's hands. I trust Him, and I go to sleep. Is anybody hearing me? So years after that, when my daughter is going through this, here I am, messed up, and I didn't sleep any at all or slept fitfully. The next morning, I beg God to forgive me for not trusting Him. When's He going to do it? I don't know. How's He going? I don't know. Is everybody hearing me? All right, let me show you one more thing, or it amplifies, but it is one more thing. If you'll turn back to Hebrews 11, I want to show you something. Hebrews 11. Now, I can't find Hebrews. I know it's in my Bible. I'm almost there. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, it's the Hall of Fame of Faith. All these people did great exploits by faith. I just want to read you a piece of a verse. We're not going to read it all right now. We will read it all in a moment, but I just want to start reading it. It's verse 13. These all died in faith. Just stop right there. Stop. Please look up here. I know you can read on, but these all died in faith. Isn't that how you want to die? Don't you want people to go, well, praise God. He died in faith. He trusts in God. That's such a blessing to have such a good testimony. I think when it says he died in faith, that's how I want to die. I want to give high fives and chest pumps. At least I died believing God. But then look what it says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Oops. I thought if you believe God, you can say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and nothing be impossible. You can have anything you want. Just believe God. And see, these died in faith, not having received. Then it says, but having seen them afar off. Excuse me? How do you see something you don't have afar off? Only one way you can is like by faith. It says, having seen the... Having seen them afar off, what's this? They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's three things involved in there. He says they trusted God. Watch. They were persuaded of Him, embraced it, and confessed. They were persuaded. They were so certain that God is in charge and He's going to take care of this. They're persuaded of it. And they made it part of their life. They embraced it. And then they said it out loud. They confessed it. I have a fellow that's taught me most of what I believe and practice and enjoy about faith is a man named Manly Beasley. Never shook his hand. I heard one cassette tape about him talking one time, but he had two little workbooks I found when I was a couple years out of Bible college on faith. Manly Beasley. You know what Brother Manly Beasley said about why we don't tell people what we're trusting God for? We can't see it, so we have to faith it. We don't have it, so we have to faith it. He said, you know why we don't tell God what we really believe God's going to do? Because we're afraid it might not work. What if it doesn't happen? We'll look like an idiot, a loser, look like one of them weird people, name it, claim it. And so I can't tell you, I don't want to tell you what I'm trusting God for. So what if it doesn't happen? Does anybody hear me? So if I ask God in faith and I'm trusting Him, I can't see it. We have what we call an adopted granddaughter. She's not by blood in our family, but she came into our life when she was a baby, and our daughter babysit her a long time, and then actually our daughter paid for her Christian school education. Actually, that girl's mother is a drug addict. She was in prison when baby was born, and when she was in the third grade, her mother gave her to my daughter. Said, you can just have her. She'll have a better life and a better home with you. Will you take her? No paperwork and all that. We call Chelsea our granddaughter. She's away from God. Am I going to faith it? I cannot see her coming back. Her life is tangled up. But will God forgive anybody? Will God forgive anything? How does He do that? If someone just honestly, humbly repents, ask Him to forgive them, He will. He doesn't throw anybody away. It's incredible. So is Nana and I going to lose sleep over Chelsea, or are we going to trust God? And if we're just sitting around talking about it, I'd say, I can't see her coming back. But in my heart and head, I can believe God can get a hold of her. Is it going to happen in my lifetime? I sure hope it happens this week. So here's my last illustration, I guess. My sister is the youngest girl in the family. She's a good friend to me. I love her. We're good buddies. She's a good Christian lady. Her husband surrendered the ministry, and she had three little kids. The boy was 9. The next boy was 7. The little girl was 4. And Daddy was doing online Bible studies and so on, getting ready for trying to be in the ministry and working at the church, being faithful. They were good people, but he went to work one day and he didn't come home. He died in a tragedy. My sister doesn't have an education. She doesn't have any work skills, just to be a laborer. Her heart's broken, got 3 little kids. And her and I are friends, and she looks up to me. I'm a preacher, and I trust God. And Nancy and I have been through some tragedy events in our life about an accident and so on. And she knew that God was at work in us. And so about a month after he died, after the funeral, we were talking. She said, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to get a job. I don't have any skills. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the house. I don't know if I'm supposed to sell the house and find a place to rent. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do you think I should do? And here's what I learned from Manly Beasley, and I told my sister. Well, the first thing, her name's Anita. I said, first thing, Anita, you have to realize it's none of your business. Your business is to trust God. If He wants you to sell the house, it's all going to work out. You'll sell the house. If He doesn't, you don't need to sell the house. He's going to work it out. Your business is to trust God. When's he going to do it? That's none of your business when he's going to do it. How is he going to do it? That is none of your business how he's going to do it. Is everybody hearing me? But see, we got to put our nose in and act like we got to know when, how, where, who's going to do it, all that. That's not our business. Our business is to trust God. So years after, I'll just say 15 years after this happened, I asked her one day, I said, do you remember me telling you that it's none of your business? She said, yes. Everywhere I give my testimony, I said, my big brother said it's none of my business. And he was right. He'd been dead about a year and a half or so, and she said, I don't know if I'm supposed to be praying for a husband. I got three little kids. These boys need a daddy. I don't know if I should be praying for a husband. Should I be looking for a husband? Should I maybe look on Craigslist, see if I can find a husband, and so on. She didn't say Craigslist, but I say that. But anyway, and I said, well, Nita, the first thing is this. It's none of your business. You know those words, none of your business, can change your life? You know whose business it is? See, you and I bounce in and out. And when we're out, we think it's our business. When we're right here, we've got peace. We've got confidence. We have assurance. My salvation is not dependent on anything I can do. He did it all. My life is supposed to be a life lived by faith. I wonder if I could trust him. Why is he going to do it? That's none of your business. When? That's none of my business. I'm telling you, you want peace? You want to walk in the light or see in the light? You want to enjoy life instead of bouncing in and out? We've got to become people who genuinely live by faith. If you can see it, you don't have to faith it. If you have it, you don't have to faith it. Amen. I ask you to stand with me. I'd like to have prayer with you.